If you will, please join with me for a moment of prayer. Our beloved Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the opportunity we have to come to this Thy house and worship Thee. And we pray, O Lord, that Thy Spirit might be with us, that as we've met together, that we may worship Thee in spirit and in truth. O Lord, be with us, we pray, and help us that what we say, what we do, what we think, may all honor and glorify Thee. Bless Thy servant to preach Thy word, Thy people to hear and understand. Bless it above all to Thy praise and glory, and then to the good of Thy people. This we ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ, and amen. Subject's been on my mind at least last week, if not some the week before. Before I tried to preach last Sunday, this was on my mind. But I said, I preached it. Cedar Creek last week and said that's what I would have preached there. But this has been on my mind. If it's not known in the last week, maybe the week before that. And I say that in a sense that this is the first day of this week. All right, and that's the subject of courage. The subject of courage. Now, the word courage, the way that's used in the Scriptures, the number of times it's used in the Scriptures, I suffice to know that it was only mentioned one time in the New Testament. The word courage is only printed one time in the New Testament, and including other forms of the word, by the way. But obviously the majority of times is written in the Old Testament, and I don't know how many times, but also with the forms courageous and courageously. Now, we live in trying times. We do. We live in trying times, and we're living in times that can get more trying because of different things that are happening in this nation. Good, and one of the reasons that it's trying is that good is called evil by some people, and evil is called good. That is, what God has for us in His Word by some people is called evil or considered evil, and then what God says in His Word is considered evil is called good by the world. The world is always called the teachings of God evil. But they are more brazen about it now. I remember there was a time, I can vaguely remember it, when I grew up in my earlier years of growing up and before I was a teenager, and while I was a teenager, you just didn't speak against the church and the ways of God and God Himself. I remember, some of you may remember that there was, well, one of the Beatles came out and says that they were more popular than God. And I can remember here in the South, and radio stations would not play songs by the Beatles. That's how much people respected the Lord in that day, whether they liked it to or not. But they had to do it because of various things we had in society. But people are more brazen about calling good evil and evil good now. The world has always believed that evil is good. Now we need to remember that. They always have been, and they can't do anything about it. That is, those who don't have spiritual life, they haven't been quickened by the Holy Spirit, they are dead in trespasses and sins, cannot call good good. But they'll always call evil good. And because of that, we are condemned, we that believe in Jesus Christ and want to follow the ways of God, we are condemned if we say evil is evil or that sin is sin. We're condemned. That is, we are intolerant. And that was a buzzword a number of years ago, tolerance. Well, tolerance can be a good thing. That is, I respect someone else respects me, and that sort of thing. I'm kind to them, and they're kind to me. That's a good thing. I suppose that's one definition as a tolerance. But to the world, and we need to remember this, to the world, tolerance is a one-way street. You see, we're supposed to be tolerant of them, but they don't have to be tolerant to us. Now that's the way it is. That's their mindset. But tolerance can be a good thing. Now, we're also called narrow-minded. But I want to tell you, that's a good thing. Now, that doesn't sound good, but being narrow-minded is a good thing. And Jesus said that, by the way, in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 7, and verses 13 and 14. Again, the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 7, and verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Now, let me pause just a minute and give you a definition of the word straight. It's not spelled as we spell straight, S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. I believe there's an I in there. Not spelled that way. It's S-T-R-A-I-T. And that means narrow, thin, confined. All right. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way, which leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, let me say something about the broad way. Now, I remember a number of years ago, and I'm sure it's that way, if not wider, a certain place in north of Atlanta, it may have been in Cobb County, or just before you get into Cobb County, north of 285, and there was one part of the interstate, Interstate 75, that had eight lanes in it. Yes, that means eight lanes in it, and there's all kind of room for deviation. You could be in the far left, of course, unless you're going to turn, get off, and so obviously you want to be in the far right. But the fact is, in that eight lanes of traffic going in one direction, there's all kind of room for deviation, to be in this lane or another lane or whatever. Now, but then there's a narrow way. It reminds me, when I think of a narrow way, I think about the time that there's a place that Daddy owned that was always called the Don Miller Place. And it had good coastal Bermuda hay on there. And every so often we'd go over there and we'd bale the hay, and then we'd take it up to the other part of the farm. There was no place to store hay on that part of the farm, and that part of the farm was separated from the rest of the farm. So in order to put it in underneath a shelter, then we had to go and leave that, go over there. But one of the places where we went was a place that was very seldom traveled. You could see the ruts there and between the ruts, but up to the ruts on either side was kudzu. Now, I don't know how you would feel, but I dare not get out of those ruts because I wouldn't know what might be under the kudzu on the other side, but it didn't go in the lanes there. Now, and so there's no room for deviation on that part of that road. Now, that's like the narrow way, the idea there that there's no room for deviation. And that's the way we're to go. God's Word is the truth, and we're to believe God's Word as truth and obey God's Word because it is the truth of God and it is for us. One thing about truth. I remember hearing this on Christian radio some time ago, and that is, it is exclusive. Truth is exclusive. For instance, 1 plus 1 equals 2. It's not 1 plus 999 ad infinitum. No, that won't work because that's not truth. Because if 1 plus 1 equals 1, equals 2, beg your pardon, then there no other answer would be truth because and that gives you an idea of truth is exclusive. I had to look up a few words and try to study for this in the dictionary. And there's A, B, C, D, E, and so forth like that. And that those 26 letters come in a certain order. Well, if you want to put an alphabet in another order, that's your business. But you're going to have a hard time looking up something in the dictionary. Because, again, truth, the alphabet, and other things like that, they are exclusive. And so when God said in His Word that there are certain things that are truth, then anything contrary to that is not truth because truth is exclusive. But we have the truth of God, and we're to follow that. All right? God said in His Word, we can have courage. God said in His Word, we can have courage. Now, there are a number of scriptures I want us to consider this morning. And the first one is found in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. Again, it's the book of Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. Now, this, by the way, the book of Deuteronomy is Moses' message to the children of Israel. Moses already knew that he wasn't going with them into the promised land. But he loved them so much, in spite of the difficulties and other problems that he had with them, that he loved them so much that he wanted to give them this law again. And by the way, the word Deuteronomy means second law. All right? Now, but again, in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6, we find, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Alright? Moses charged, and this, by the way, is by inspiration of God, because we have it in the Scriptures. Moses could say a lot of things that, but it may have not been true. Moses was a man, as I am. But this is by inspiration of God, because it's written here in the very Word of God. Moses said, be strong and of good courage. And so the Israelites, I think he was giving them this message and telling them they were to be strong and have good courage. Why? Because the Lord was with them. That's the reason. Not because of what they were, but because the Lord was with them and was going to be with them. Therefore, they were strong and good courage. All right? Moses passed away. Joshua was the leader of Israel. And we find the same message to him in Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Again, Joshua 1 and verses 5 and 6. And these two verses read, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee. That, by the way, this is God's message to Joshua. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance in the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Alright? Joshua was to be strong and have good courage. As the Moses, by the leadership of the Spirit of God, told the Israelites to do the same thing. Now here, God tells Joshua, after he had become the leader of the nation of Israel and was to lead them into the land of Canaan and to lead them that they might possess the land, God gave him the same message, and that is, first, and he was to have to be strong and have good courage. Why? Because the Lord would be with him. That's what we need to remember. The Lord would be with him. All right. Now, some might say, well, that was for Joshua and Israel. Well, it was. But you know, this same thing is written in the New Testament. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews. And I want to read chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. And it reads, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, in that context of Scripture, we find there that, all right, well, God will take care of the needs of you have. You can be content with those things you have because God promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That is, God will provide those things that you need, whatever they may be. And you'll have it. You'll have whatever you need when you need it. Maybe not before then, not after then, but you have what you need whenever you need it. And then, but it goes back to the same quotation, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, and one thing about the word thee. We need to remember that. Some people say, well, the thee's and the thou's of the King James Version are hard to understand. Not really. And you say, well, why do you say that? Because thee, thou, and other forms, whether it be subjective, objective, or possessive, and if there are others that I don't know about, then they're singular pronouns. And so God was, the Apostle Paul, or whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, by inspiration of the Spirit of God, wrote to them, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. It's not just that God would not leave nor forsake a great number of people, but God does not leave nor does He forsake individuals within those groups of people. Now see, it's not just for a group of people or whatever, but rather it's for each of us as individuals. God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so for that reason, we can have courage because God has promised us, each one of us, that He will not leave us nor forsake us. We are weak and have no strength within ourselves. That's one thing we need to know. Kathy and I were coming over here, and we heard Amazing Grace on the radio. I listen to Christian radio all the time while I'm in the car. well, probably the only time I don't listen to Christian radio in the car is when, one captain's talking on the cell phone. Or other, if I can't get Christian radio on the car. It's kind of hard to listen to it when you can't pick up the station. All right, but nevertheless, that's something I listen to all the time, practically, in the car. All right? Now, we're listening to Amazing Grace. And Catherine said that, have you ever noticed the fact that they said that to save a soul like me instead of save a wretch like me? Well, I tell you, grace is greater when we say that God has amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, than if we say saved a soul like me. Because the lower we consider ourselves, the greater we consider God. Now, I was thinking about that this morning when I came down here, that I'd be the oldest one here. Well, figured out when I first got here, I'm not the oldest one here, but next to it. But anyway, the longer I live, the less I think of me, and the more I think of God. Because the less I think of me, the more I realize how much I need the Lord. And so the idea when we consider ourselves as weak as we are and dependent on the Lord in every way, then the more we'll appreciate the fact that our strength comes from Him. Our confidence is not or should not be in ourselves, but our confidence should be in the Lord. Now, I'm sure every one of you here old enough to have seen the movie The Wizard of Oz. And I know I won't ask Sister Darlene when she was born, but it came out 9 years before I was born. So again, I'm the second oldest one here, and so every one of us are old enough to have seen it. And even the very youngest one, even Sister Ava, is old enough because it comes out, I think, every year. It seems like every year at a certain time of year. I don't know what time of year it is, but every year it comes out. Well, in that movie, Dorothy went to Oz in her dreams, and then she decided to get back to Kansas. She had to go see the Wizard of Oz. And in the Wizard of Oz, she picks up the Scarecrow, the Cowardly Lion, and the Tin Man. Well, again, there was the Cowardly Lion. And all four of them wanted something, but the Cowardly Lion wanted courage. Well, the one that pretended to be a wizard, but really wasn't a wizard of all, said, well, would you do the things you did to get here to Oz from wherever you were? Then it took courage for that. So you already have courage. And so, listen, brothers and sisters, we can have courage anyway, whether we knew it or not. Because our strength is not within ourselves. Our strength is within the Lord. And so, for that reason, we can have courage. And so, we might be like the Cowardly Lion. We can have courage and simply just don't know it. We can because our strength is in the Lord. Alright? We can have strength because God gives us strength. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. And it reads, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now notice that expression there. He says, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. God's grace that saved us from our sins. And he mentions that in verse 2, the next verse. And he says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So the idea, he's talking about the grace that saved us from our sins. We are to know the works of God in saving us from our sin, from God, the fact that God foreknew us before the world began, and then for that, out of that foreknowledge, He chose us in Jesus Christ, and He will ultimately glorify us at the time of the resurrection. So, my brother and sister, we are to know something about these works of grace and rejoice in them because that's something that God did for us. That is, God has saved us by His amazing and sovereign grace. All right? Then there's God's sustaining grace. Look at verse 3 of this chapter. And it reads, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Now, I think when he says endure hardness, he's referring to the fact that they must endure difficulty. There was difficulty. Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified. In fact, of the 12 apostles, counting Paul instead of Judas, of those 12 apostles, all of them except one, the apostle John, died an unnatural death. They were all put to death. They're all put to death. Only the apostle Paul died from natural causes. And I have read from history and heard more than one occasion that he was boiled in oil before he died. But he died of natural causes. So they all experienced persecution. And so he said we are to endure hardness. That is, to continue to be faithful in spite of the difficulties. That's why you have difficulties. Because your faith. If you deny the faith, then you won't have those difficulties. But we're to endure hardness and difficulties and persecutions, whatever may come. And God will give us grace. He will give us the strength we need. I thought about studying this, the third verse of Amazing Grace. Some of you may remember there was a newsman, I can't remember his name right now, that did a documentary about the song Amazing Grace. And it was good, by the way, I think, if I remember correctly. But anyway, there was one woman that said that her favorite verse in this was, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on," if I got that all correctly. But the idea is that, listen, we come through dangers, we come through toils, we come through snares, but God, the saving grace that God has given us, the same grace, the same power of grace is with us to sustain us in our everyday lives. God will give us the strength that we need. Now if you will turn with me in your Bible, you want to hold on to 2 Timothy because I'm going to another verse over there. But look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Again, the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. And it reads, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." There again, be strong in the Lord. We have no strength. We are nothing within ourselves, but we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. All right, now, I said go back to 2 Timothy. I'm going back right now. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And while some of you may be turning to that, I remember years ago when I first began to endeavor to exercise in the ministry, I was a member of the Atlanta Primitive Baptist Church, and our pastor at that time had me several times and we studied together, and this is the first one that he brought to my attention. And that is, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God has given us the spirit of fear. And then in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, I believe it reads, at the end of that verse of Scripture is what I really want to get. It says, "Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Jesus Christ is within us. I believe it's Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, if I'm not mistaken. It says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." Jesus Christ is within us. And so, and that Jesus Christ that is within us is greater than He that is in the world. And so, we have strength, brothers and sisters, because Jesus is with us. Now, God gave us, He said, "Put on the whole armor of God," and so forth. God gave us the whole armor of God. It is whole and it is complete. That is, when he says put on the whole armor of God, he's saying, first of all, put all of it on. Use all of it. And then the fact is that it is whole. It doesn't mean just put on all the armor, but put on an armor that is whole and complete within itself. Everything about it, and I'm not going to get into the various implements of armor that are mentioned in that passage of Scripture, But everything in there corresponds to the armor, the tools of battle that a Roman soldier would wear in those days. All right, so, and we're to use all of it. There's nothing to cover the back. I remember some time ago, I tried to preach about the armor of God. And I didn't preach all from that text in Ephesians chapter 6, but I've started with the armor that Goliath wore when David slew him. And one thing I remember is he had a shield on the back of his armor also. Well, in this whole armor of God, there's nothing on the back. There's nothing to cover that. But God takes care of that, and it's mentioned in Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 12. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 12. And it reads, "For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rearward." Now, you think that was really reward. That's the way it's spelled and so forth, but the word is actually an archaic spelling, I guess, of the word rearward. And I looked this one up in the dictionary, didn't find it, but R-E-A-R, word, is in the dictionary. But now, the idea there is God has got your back. We go forward in the service of God. We go forward and fight the great battles of faith. Don't worry about the back, because God will take care of us. And so that's something that we need to remember. All right? And then in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Beautiful verse of Scripture. I think about it many times and use it many times because it applies to so many times. And that is, again, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever. Now, think about it in this way. I read a little bit earlier, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And then three verses down, same context. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just as he promised blessings to Israel, and then later promised blessings to Joshua, and said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake thee," then since he is not changed, then therefore that same promise is good to us. And he's got, "So I'll never leave you nor forsake thee." Now, go back to Ephesians 6, not very far. If I don't read verse 18, we've given all those tools or implements of warfare that we have in our Christian warfare. And by the way, if you think that we're not at war, or never will be at war or whatever, then why do we have armaments for war if we're not at war? God gave us that. And so we need it. Now, Hebrews, this is in the context, by the way, of the whole armor of God. Look at verse 18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Now, what's the idea there? We see a narrow field, all right? But God sees a bigger picture. God sees the whole picture. And that is that, yes, we have the sword of the Spirit. Yes, we have the helmet of salvation. Yes, our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel and all of those other things that are in there in that passage of Scripture that make up the whole armor of God. But we don't use that unless we keep in contact with the Lord. We pray and ask God for direction. Do I use the shield? Do I use the sword? Or whatever the case may be, then God gives us direction. So we're to be constant communication with the Lord, because that's one of the things prayer is. Prayer is communication with the Lord. And a very similar word to the word communication is communion. And pray, when the Lord blesses us in prayer, is communion with the Lord. And thank the Lord for that. So to be strong, brothers and sisters, we need to be close to the Lord. And the Lord gives us direction. He promises us grace to endure any circumstances, whatever those may be. I don't know what may happen with my life. I don't know what kind of temptations I might have. I don't know what kind of trials I might have, but the Word of God promises that I'll have some to some degree. I don't know whether I'll be persecuted or not. I don't know whether I'll ever face death whether I'll be put to death if I continue to acknowledge my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know that, but I say this, whatever the circumstances may be, I believe that God will be with me. If I try to be faithful to the Lord, I do believe that God will be with me. And I think that it's not just for me, but for every one of us. God will take care of us in one way or another. All right? There's the one time that courage is found in the New Testament. And that's in the book of Acts, chapter 28 and verse 15. The book of Acts, chapter 28 and verse 15. And you will recognize this is towards the end of the chapter. And in fact, it is the last chapter. I didn't pay attention to that before, but it is the last chapter. All right? Now, Acts chapter 28, verse 15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appiophorum and the three taverns, whom, when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Now, this is written by Luke, the physician, as he wrote the gospel according to Luke. All right? It was written by Luke, and he was one of Paul's traveling companions. And after the shipwreck and all the other things that Paul experienced in this journey, Luke was there with him. And so he says at the end of this verse, when Paul saw the brethren, he thanked God and took courage. That is to say that Paul was encouraged. I remember, I was trying to think this morning, who said this? What preacher said that? I knew recently it was some preacher that said this, and I finally figured out it was Brother Emerson back there, the first Sunday in January. And he mentioned the fact that encouragement, people applauding, like in the Olympic Games that they were familiar with at the time all of this was written, running the race, and so forth. That's what his text was in Hebrews chapter 12 in the first two verses anyway. But anyway, he referred to the Olympic Games. And the runners would get encouragement because people would clap and so forth. Now, I've run a few road races. Now, it was mentioned this morning about races, and I can't remember if I told y'all this or not, but if I did, then please humor me or whatever. But one time I ran the Boston Marathon. That's right. The mini marathon at Boston, Georgia. So I got a t-shirt that said big letters Boston, and here big letters marathon, and then in small letters Georgia and mini. But it was a half marathon. It was a half marathon. And there were times that I tried to train for it and so forth. Won't get into that. But there were times that I felt so bad that I thought I was going to die. And there were times that it didn't seem to be a bad option either. But nevertheless, and I did run that. But I was worn out. About 9 miles. It was a long hill going into a stiff breeze at the 9 mile mark. And I was fine until I got to there. And then when I got to there, it was rough. In fact, one time I actually stopped in the road like this. And I thought, well, you idiot, nobody's going to come by here and pick you up. So I started running again. And I never stopped again, but I walked a little bit, and I stopped running again. I see this hill, and I said, okay, when I get to this hill, I'll be going downhill, down to the town, and it'll be over. And then I look and say, oh, no, not another hill. But there was. But again, as tired and worn out as I was from running already 13.1 mile, by the way, it's a half marathon. But as tired as I was, when I got into town, people started cheering. Not like I was winning or anything, but just because of my efforts. And people started cheering. I probably ran faster then than any other time in the race. Now, why'd you say all that? Well, that's the encouragement that I got from others and I could run harder for others. And Paul, when he saw these brethren there, that come to support him, and not to wait for Paul got to Rome, but to go out and meet him, he was encouraged by that. Now listen, I think there's a lesson for each one of us, and when we are as faithful to the Lord as we ought to be, there's a certain encouragement for us that God has given us. God planned it that way. God made it that way. And so the Lord help us to be strong in the Lord and be faithful to the Lord, use His strength, use His grace to be strong and encourage one another. We are to be strong in the Lord, and we are strong because He will be with us. He gave us that promise also, and the Lord will bless us when we are faithful to Him. God help us always to remember that, is my prayer for Christ's sake.